This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD, on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. All right, so one of the things we do here on Talk is Cheap is follow the money, and divestoregon.org is doing just that. They went up to the state treasury to talk about why they're investing in fossil fuels, because if you can stop people from investing in them, then there's more money left over to invest in appropriate technology, which they are not doing. And you'll also hear me. They asked me, I had gone to the eWeb meeting on November 7th, and eWeb, as with many public utilities and private utilities and city utilities, they're not doing solar enough. And so what they're saying is that because they have to maintain a grid anyway, they're just going to stick with grid technology and not do solar panels. And, you know, we have all this surface area. In the winter, there isn't enough power to being generated from solar, and that has to be supplemented by the grid. That's not quite true, because it depends on the surface area. And if we had solar parking lots and there's plenty of surface area and we have this heat island effect, you might as well at least get some power out of this heat island effect that all the concrete is creating. We could do all our energy needs with solar. You just need more surface area. And eWeb just does not want to spend the money on solar. And there should be federal grants and state grants. We have to spend all that on unnecessary wars with the wrong countries. And we don't even have enough to fund a hospital and help the homeless, let alone put solar panels on everybody's roof. In going to the meeting, all they really have to do is fund a bond issue. And over time, we could sell that power on the grid and make that money back, and you could have free power. But they don't want to do that because they're beholden to contractors that, and they followed to their defense. In their defense, they followed the basic model eWeb did. So that's why you don't see any solar panels, and all the money goes to contractors. And I'm sure, I don't know this for sure, but I'm sure it will be someone like Halliburton that will build a nuclear power plant either in Oregon or across the border from Oregon, that then they will then run a wire to and maintain that wire. And that's my issue with wind power, too, is you're paying for that wire that you're running to those windmills instead of just producing your own power and improving the property values of people's homes and making them self-sufficient. So that's my take on it. So this is from the Divest Oregon website. $137 billion in investments. $90 billion is in public employee pension funds. Oregon should be at the leading edge of climate-safe investments to support a sustainable future for us all. As climate change drives energy market shifts, investment in fossil fuels has no long-term financial future and is causing existential damage in the present. Institutional investors with a need for a guaranteed return can attain better returns investing in a sustainable future for Oregonians. Fossil fuels cause climate chaos and deadly pollution. All too often, pipelines and power plants harm our frontline communities and violate human rights. And so their demands are shifting Oregon Treasury holdings from risky fossil fuels to climate-safe investments increases our resiliency as a people and as a state. And so we demand, one, immediately no new investments in fossil fuels since they pose a financial health and climate risk to Oregonians. Annual release of a public list of all portfolio holdings in every asset class. Transparently phase out of all current fossil fuel investments, publicly traded investments as soon as possible, and private investments phased out as contracts come due by 2035. Move to climate-safer investments using a social justice framework that accounts for the climate impacts on frontline communities across the state, including rural communities and communities of color. So, as I've said in the past, your ESG funds and your sustainability certificates are basically greenwashing, and none of that is true, and you need to pay attention to who you're invested in. Also, if you look up Oregon PERS pension fund has been notorious for being abused back in the days of KKR leveraged buyout wave. So, yeah, the pension, it's very important where that money goes. And it sets an example for the rest of the world, really. So thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. So, yeah, coming up, you can get more information on Divest oregon.org, and then some surprises at the end.
This is from the information session after a screening of Atomic Bamboozle, Tuesday, November 21st, at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Eugene. Atomic Bamboozle is a Jan Hocken production. As political pressure mounts in the U.S. to meet net zero carbon goals, the nuclear power industry makes its case for a nuclear renaissance. This documentary by Necessity director Jan Hocken follows activists as they expose the true costs of the new small nuclear reactor designs. And then after that is divestoregon.org's testimony at the Oregon State Treasury.
Well, let me just start with, we did this several weeks ago with Sierra Club over at the Art Cinema, and the place was pretty well packed, which was wonderful. And we had a person there from eWeb. Is anybody here from eWeb? Okay, he came and I contacted him and asked him a bunch of questions, and he still has not replied to me. And they, you know, they're trying to reach out to people from eWeb, and you and I all have a commissioner at eWeb, and my particular eWeb commissioner does not want nuclear at all, small nuclear reactors. He doesn't want that. So I think what we're dealing with eWeb is that they are interested in getting the law changed that they were talking about in this movie that protects us here in Oregon. And if you look on the table out there, Lloyd's significant other sent you a bunch of, this is interesting, and I have not had time to look it up, because these are all HB and SB laws that they wanted to get on the books that would change that law, so that it would not be so hard for them to put in nuclear reactors. And I haven't gone on OLIS to check this out. How many of you know what OLIS is? Okay, OLIS is Oregon Legislative Information Services, put out by our state legislature. You go on OLIS and you can look up any of these bills and see where they are presently. And as I say, I haven't done it.
Lisa, flyers were sent to us from the people who made the movie.
Who made the movie.
And so it's pretty much up to speed. They're available for you to take on the way out.
Okay, and please do, if you have time. It doesn't really take, and then you can get into OLIS, which you all need to do, because you can give testimony online if there is a particular bill that's up there and they're asking for public input. You can give testimony. You can either go up there and do it in person, or you can do it on Zoom, which is or on OLIS, which is wonderful. So if you want to get familiar with that, that's a really great idea. So these are out there for you to take, and we hope you will. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. OLIS, Oregon Legislative Information Services. Just put OLIS in, and it will bring it up on your computer, and you can go in there, as he's saying. Look up a bill, see where it is, see who introduced it, who's sponsoring it, et cetera, and you can write them, talk to them, email them, whatever, okay? All right, any other information about that? All right, and just last week, NuScale, okay, all these, what I'm worried about, one of the things I asked eWeb, and then I had to kind of back off from it. What I'm worried about is that somehow they will get us involved with putting our energy on Wall Street. And then we're not going to have any control over it. And if these big companies go in and do this, and we're buying from them and blah, 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 it seems to me there would be a problem with some of that, okay? Because, as he says, these millionaires are willing to put some money in it, but they want us to pick up the rest of it. And nuclear power, at the last meeting that we went to, one of the gentlemen summed it up very, very well. He said, it's exceedingly expensive. And as yet, none of these things have been built anywhere. And we don't know how. They're saying, oh, they're very, very safe. We don't really know that. And Lloyd, whom you saw in this movie, says that even if they make mistakes in building them, they still get paid. You know, so if they make a mistake, oh well, then they can come back and offer to fix it, and then they get paid again, which is what's happened in the past. So there are all these things going on. And then the last most important thing is, what do they do with the nuclear waste? And I don't think we know as human beings what's going to happen. What is Oregon going to look like 10,000 years from now? I don't think I have that information. And I think we need to really push them on that, because it doesn't take much nuclear waste to really cause problems in human beings and fish and water and everything else. Okay, so please take this information. New Scale, what is the name of that? I am so bad at names. But the one that they just are pushing, they decided to withdraw, and they are not going to build that small nuclear reactor. This is the one that they were coming out of Oregon State University, and they have decided they're not going to do it. And the one that they were going to build in Alaska, they have also had a lot of problems, and they're kind of backing out also. So that's good. My suggestion to all of you, if you would, if you have time, is learn as much as you can. Then go to eWeb and say, you know, if you've got questions, ask them. Ask your commissioner what is going on here, and eventually they will respond to you. So I think that's a really good thing for us to do. I think eWeb needs to know that there are lots of people out there that are very concerned about this, and they're concerned about all aspects of our energy production.
Did you have something to add about
eWeb? Yeah.
Well, please. Do you want me to? I went to the eWeb meeting on the 7th, so I can give you guys a little report
on
that if you want.
Yes, please do.
All right, well.
And it's online, by the way.
So I talked to their press guy, and he kept sending me to their integrated resources plan. When you go to their integrated resources plan, what it's saying is they're acquisitioning new resources, and those resources are going to be wind, storage batteries, and the best fit is modular nuclear reactors. So what they're claiming is that because solar doesn't work in the winter, they have to maintain an infrastructure anyway for solar, and that infrastructure goes to Bonneville Power. So because they have to keep this infrastructure in there anyway, they just don't want to do solar panels at all, because we might as well just use this infrastructure to get hydropower. So they have not made us energy independent at all. We're going to be dependent on the grid. And what they're saying is that net metering, the ratepayers, the people that are putting solar panels on their house are getting free electricity, and other ratepayers are paying for them, and they're getting complaints about this. So, and that's the way net metering works, is that they spread these costs over all the ratepayers. Instead of having a state subsidy, which we don't have enough money for the homeless even, so why would there be enough money to put solar panels on people's houses? But that's the way it should be done, in my own opinion. And I have a LEEDS 2.0 certification, so I'm not coming at this from complete ignorance. But they've just basically literally sold us down the river, and they're just going to And they're not even planning for when they're sitting there going, they have all these variables that they don't know, and they're doing what they describe in there. They're financing it out. They have money that they can pay these contractors to build this stuff, and then they charge ratepayers down the road. And they just told me your bills are going to go up $11 for electricity, an average of $11, and $3 for water. And so what they're saying too is, well, we've had to maintain all this water infrastructure, but you notice the water bill only went up $4, where the electricity bill went up $11. And what you're paying for is these contractors that are maintaining all this wire. And what I was saying is that too is that's the problem with wind power is you're still dependent on the grid. And so instead of improving people's housing, you know, your property values of your house and maintaining solar panels on your roof and becoming energy independent, you're still dependent on that wind power. And Wall Street, you mark my words, I have no evidence of this, but you know they're going to sell that power, that wind power, on the grid when LA and the South wants that for their air conditioning. That power is going to go, they're going to sell it to the highest bidder, is my prediction. Whereas we could, if we had solar panels, we should have solar parking lots and everything. If we had solar panels, we could be selling, keep your rates down by selling that electricity in peak hours and then buying electricity during the winter. And then just as, I'll wrap this up, but just as a joke, what I did was, what they want to do at the university is they want to put, they're just going to put an electric boiler in there. And that's going to take huge amounts of electricity to run this boiler. What I did was I went up there and I said, because what that's called is cogeneration. You can put tiles on the roof and take that waste heat. There's this huge amount of waste. They showed us this huge amount of waste heat. You can take that waste heat and do cogeneration, and that would supplement your solar in the winter. But what I told them was, I went to this famous place called the New Alchemy Institute. It's a famous permaculture place in Massachusetts where the winters are freezing cold. Down the street from there was this lady that heated her greenhouse with rabbits. Okay, Angora rabbits have 108 degree body temperature, and then you comb the hair off of them and spin it into yarn. And the point that I'm trying to make is this would totally rethink, I was joking to make rabbit that they should heat the U of O with rabbits, but they have all these tunnels underneath the U of O that they could easily pump hot air and heat. They really could do this. And so the point that I was trying to make is we need to totally rethink about what you're doing and not be so detached, like they were saying in the movie, from your heat, your energy sources, your food sources, your clothing sources. And it would teach people animal husbandry, because you have to spin, it's this beautiful thing that you have to spin yarn. It's totally magical, you know. So again, I'm not saying that you should do rabbit heat, but I did tell the e-web, I said, hey, you guys should think about rabbit heat, think out of the box, and we could return to the Angora sweater, and we could have the U of O having green and yellow Angora sweaters, you know. So anyway, that's what I said. I don't know if there's any questions, if I can answer any questions. This is kind of impromptu for me, so if you...
Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is David Labby. I am a Peru's beneficiary and a Divest Oregon volunteer. I know you heard earlier in the meeting about how well the fund has done, OPR has done in the recent past, although it has to be said that 55% of those returns are stated value and not market value. The real question now is to what extent the past predicts the future. And I know you just heard about the Milliman's report to the PERS board sharing the less good news that there is an increase in the unfunded liability the advisory calculation that there will be an increase in employer contributions to the fund. They also, as was noted, reaffirmed the 6.9 return rate. So the question really now is, how realistic is the 6.9%, and to what extent will employers be faced with increasing contributions over the future if we maintain such predictions? So the Equitable Institute, which is a nonpartisan institute that looks at pension fund performance nationally, has been concerned for some time about the high assumed return rates. And they have a graph in their most recent 2022 report that basically shows that the probability of hitting these high rates of 6.5% or 7% is actually going down. They say that the probability of earning 7% is 35% over the next 10 years. So that doesn't square very well with the 6.9 return. So the real question is to the Treasury is, how are you, in the face of this economic uncertainty, how is the Treasury going to mitigate that risk? And we don't want to face increasing contributions from employers over time. One obvious plan is to get rid of bad investments. That will only dig the hole deeper for the plan. So as Divest Oregon has argued over the past 2 years, fossil fuels are bad. Investments, reducing fossil fuel exposure is reducing long-term investment risk. What is the investment outlook of fossil fuels in a world of extreme weather events, crop failures, water shortages, societal and political disruptions, and mass population displacements? In 2023, the UN warned that a livable future can only happen with deep reductions in greenhouse gases by 2030. That's 6 years from now. So we believe that the decarbonization plan that Treasurer Reid is putting forth could be the key opportunity not only to significantly decrease OPERF's investment risk going forward, but also create a national model for other pension plans to follow as they face climate and investment risk. Once again, Oregon could be a national leader. However, but for the decarbonization plan to be in any way credible, it must meet the urgency of the moment by divesting the portfolio from the most toxic investments as quickly as possible. Toxic both to the world we live in and to the future returns of our pension program. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know I'm the one that says not time for discussion. I'm going to be the first one to break the rule by stating, which I think would have been a good comment after Kevin's telling us about the unfunded liability and the unfunded rate, is that although we did have a negative return of just under 2%. In 2022, we were one of the top performing pension funds in the nation. I think, if not the top performer, so in the top quartile. So, in a year when everybody else was down dramatically, we were not. So, it could be significantly worse. We never like a negative return, but that was an incredible job. And then the only other thing I'll say is that with the increase in interest rates, there's now a wonderful opportunity to make low risk, high returns in bonds. In fact, some people have the conversation, why don't we just put everything in bonds? But that's a joke. We're not going to do that. However, there is an opportunity now to have much higher returns with much lower risk in fixed income that makes that bogey, whatever the bogey is, feel more attainable. So with that,
so that's why you could put the fossil fuel investments that you had divest, put them in bonds. Sounds like an easy fix.
Good afternoon, Chair Samples and members of the Council. Only you can set policy for pension investments. The Treasury will ask you to rely on a consultant with massive worldwide fossil fuel interests who was recently sued for deliberate misinformation about climate change. There's something wrong with this picture. Trust law allows you to rely on the advice of professionals. OIC training also emphasized that you always have a duty of prudence in selecting the agent. Your governing statute defines prudence as using reasonable care, skill, and caution. Treasury retained McKinsey & Company in 2023 to recommend a decarbonization plan. A year earlier, a book by New York Times investigative reporters disclosed that McKinsey's work with mining and fossil fuel companies goes back decades. Dozens of mega corporations creating climate change remain among McKinsey's biggest clients. These climate changers in recent years paid hundreds of millions of dollars in fees to McKinsey. All of McKinsey's employees live in the institutional climate that these massive fees affect. McKinsey's climate work has a huge financial conflict of interest. If offered to you for consideration, prudence requires a thorough assessment by your own independent expert who is not part of fossil fuels. Compounding the problem, McKinsey is also a defendant in a $50 billion lawsuit by Multnomah County, a PERS public employer. The suit alleges, quote, McKinsey has coordinated and participated in a deliberate misinformation campaign to downplay and or outright deny the causal relationship between greenhouse gas emissions of its members and extreme weather events. Multnomah County's allegations are not proof, but disturbing complex allegations require extensive due diligence before a trustee can conclude they are meritless. You would require the same from any investment staff if they learned a proposed general partner had just been sued for major fraud. These claims, whether occurring before or after McKinsey signed Treasury's contract, give Treasury ample grounds under paragraph 9 and 13 to consult with the Department of Justice about terminating for breach of warranty. If Treasury chooses not to act, prudence requires that your independent expert closely examine McKinsey's methodologies and recommendations and skeptically compare them against competing alternatives that McKinsey implicitly or explicitly rejected. And I have the exhibits. May I leave them with the council members? Yes. There's one for each member.
Gary?
My name is Gary Walmark. I'm a retired attorney, a career PERS member, and a volunteer with DeVest Oregon. I drove roughly 2 hours today from my home in Eugene to provide testimony regarding the necessity of the Oregon Investment Council to act independently in performing its duties. The Oregon Treasury hired a consultant, many would say of conflicted reputation, to create a decarbonization plan you'll be asked to embrace. DeVest Oregon believes the OIC needs its own independent consultants to conduct the necessary plan review. This consultant would need all the background information that was given to McKinsey. OIC may very well already have a consultant on contract who could do this review, such as Makita, who in 2018 advised the New York City Comptroller on the financial impact of divestment. Whomever you choose, they need to have expertise in reviewing decarbonization plans and must be well-versed in net zero strategies, such as being a signatory to the Net Zero Consultants Initiative. That review should answer the following questions. Are the details of the plan ambitious enough to attain significant decarbonization by 2030 or 35, which has been cited as critical for both financial and climate risk maintenance? Does the plan combine engagement with concrete action, such that a failure to change fossil fuel business practices within 3 to 5 years leads to divestment? Will the resulting decarbonization goals and subsequent movement toward those goals be communicated to the OIC and stakeholders in a timely and transparent manner? DeVest Oregon's recommendation for an independent review of the decarbonization plan is made in light of failure of the previous OIC to order a mandatory internal audit by the Oregon Treasury. ORS 293.776, enacted in 1967, requires the OIC to provide an examination, audit, and report on OPERF's investment program at least once every 4 years. The statute directs that it, and I quote, shall include an evaluation of current investment fund, investment policies and practices, and of specific investments, unquote. The last such examination and audit was conducted 7 years ago, in September 2016. This means the Treasury and the OIC are 3 years late in meeting their quadrennial investment audit mandate. The previous OIC did not exercise its oversight duty by mandating audits by the Treasury. We strongly request that the current OIC do its own due diligence review of the Treasury's plan before embracing it. Thank you for your consideration and for your valuable independent public service.
Hello, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Ariana Jacob, and I'm the president of the American Federation of Teachers Oregon. And our labor federation represents 18,000 Oregon workers, almost all in the public sector. Our union members are supporters of the work that Divest Oregon is doing to encourage the strongest possible decarbonization plan, which is due to be presented to you all in early 2024. is my understanding. Many of our members are teachers and researchers who educate and study climate change. We are concerned for our students' futures. We are also PERS members who are concerned about the stability of our retirement savings with the risks that fossil fuel investments pose. We at AST Oregon have appreciated having regular meetings with the treasurer and his staff. This has allowed us to have more faith and understanding in this process, which we then are relaying to our leaders and members. However, we agree with Divest Oregon that the OIC's plan must be as transparent as possible to the greater public in every respect. Decarbonization terms, implementation, reporting, and assessment of progress and effectiveness. Only broad transparency will allow PERS beneficiaries to receive all pertinent information about their investments. Only broad transparency will allow public employees and the public to understand what they are paying for and why they are paying for it. Only broad transparency will give Oregonians faith that we are truly doing everything we can to prevent the most tragic and catastrophic outcomes of climate change and to mitigate human loss and suffering in the long term. As I understand it, in the consulting contract, there is a contractor intellectual property agreement which blocks public and beneficiary access to crucial details about how the treasurer's plan is proposed to work. In addition, two other elements of the treasurer's plan, the Planetrics solution and the portfolio alignment toolkit, are secret. And any reports or other work products generated by these secret programs are then also secret. This level of secrecy is incompatible with the administration of a $93 billion public trust. We call on the Oregon Investment Council to find ways to make the maximum possible public disclosure of the information it receives and to require the narrowest possible parameters for consultant secrecy. Divest Oregon and AFT Oregon have the right to know how the decarbonization plan is affecting Oregonians, and especially our frontline communities. We have the right to know if and how our funds are being reinvested to create a more just and equitable world. This would allow our union members and the public at large to trust that the proposed decarbonization plan is doing what it is supposed to do, decreasing our reliance on fossil fuels, decarbonizing and decreasing the risk to our pension investments, and moving towards a responsible and resilient climate future. Thank you.
Chair Samples and OIC members, for the record, my name is Susan Palmwater. I co-lead the Divest Oregon Coalition of 100 organizations composed of unions, youth, faith communities, climate, and racial justice organizations, tens of thousands of Oregonians and PERS members. We have concerns about investor engagement strategies with fossil fuel companies, both by proxy voting and direct engagement. They have not produced results in decarbonizing portfolios. Case in point, ExxonMobil's recent $60 billion acquisition of Pioneer Natural Resources in the Permian Basin raises the company's global oil production by 35% by 2027, and of course, their emissions. Three directors elected by shareholders in 2021, which Treasurer Reid promoted as a big win for shareholder engagement, voted in favor of that Pioneer acquisition. In addition, Exxon has pulled back funding from its highly touted, decade-long effort to make biofuels out of algae. Another example, after 5 years engaging 166 global companies with $68 trillion in assets under management, Climate Action 100 recently admitted it had not succeeded in producing real decarbonization results, saying, quote, lack of credible short- and medium-term decarbonization strategies across the majority of focused companies, unquote. And in Europe, a couple examples. After more than a decade of intensive investor engagement, the Church of England's pension board announced it had failed to convince oil and gas sector to align with global climate goals and will divest. Like New York City, the Danish pension fund Akademiker Pension, a public teachers fund, chose to divest oil and gas stocks, including ExxonMobil, BP, Chevron, Total, Shell, so forth. The CIO said the divestments followed years during which the fund, together with other investors, tried to get these companies to change their climate strategy, but found these major oil companies simply refused to change. over and over, investors are learning that engagement with coal, oil, and gas companies is simply a dead end. We will be watching to see if this net zero plan relies on an engagement-only strategy. If it does, it will signal that the plan is more about creating an appearance of taking on financial and environmental challenges rather than actually reducing emissions. The goal of engagement should be a clear path to decarbonization with divestment as the end point if decarbonization is not rapidly occurring. We will also be watching to see what timelines are selected. It needs to be aggressive to deal with the risks to the portfolio. 2050 will not do. Non-productive engagement will not work either. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Patty Hine. I'm a PERS beneficiary. I'm the president of a climate justice organization named 350 Eugene, and I'm also a retired Navy commander. As a Navy officer, I was trained to focus on the mission and always be on the lookout for unanticipated threats. Threats that, if ignored, could have devastating consequences. Such a threat, an accelerating speed, constant bearing, and decreasing range, could be a catastrophic collision. Climate change and fossil fuel investments pose such a threat. They're stranded assets, as you know, and you are in a position to eliminate or at a minimum reduce the risk. An obvious way for the Treasury to reduce financial risk from the climate is to stop investing in the fossil fuel industry. We are watching to see if the decarbonization plan of Treasurer Reid includes this first basic step of ending fossil fuel investment. Treasurer Reid announced his decarbonization plan framework in November 2022. The following month, three private investments were made and announced at the January 2023 OIC meeting. Treasurer Reid noted during that meeting that two of these investments, totaling over $500 million, have oil and gas exposure. Treasurer Reid apparently felt a need to comment, since new long-term investments with oil and gas exposure are inconsistent with the goal of decarbonization. He said, quote, "I want to be clear that does not signal any weakening in my commitment to produce a plan for a net zero pathway and a portfolio that is aligned with climate risk. In fact, for me, it underscores a need for a comprehensive approach," end quote. Continued investment in the fossil fuel industry makes decarbonization more difficult. But fossil fuel investments continue, most notably in the private investment arena, as Nicole Heil of Private Equity Stakeholder Project testified in the most recent September OIC meeting. Treasurer Reid indicated that continued investments with oil and gas exposure underscore the need for this plan. The plan must end fossil fuel investment in the industry, and most urgently and specifically in private funds with coal, oil, and gas, since they have the longest contracts that cannot easily be exited. This may be difficult to achieve politically, but at the end of the day, isn't our job to look fearlessly at risks from all sides, even the ones that are novel or unexpected? Aren't we in fact morally obligated by our oaths of service to take decisive steps immediately when a threat clearly presents itself? It would be indeed inexcusable if we did not. It is a big ship. We should start our turn now.
Thank you. We have one more speaker, Athena. Go ahead. Hi, my name is Athena Suchen, and I'm a current senior at OES and co-lead for Portland Youth Climate Strike. Today, I'm speaking from the youth's perspective. While a commendable initiative, the decarbonization plan falls short in the face of rapid and escalating climate crisis. As you all know, climate change becoming irreversible is fast approaching, 5 years and 269 days to be exact. And yet, the deadlines outlined in this plan do not align with the pressing need for immediate, bold, and transformative action. The consequences of inaction should not be abstract concepts to us. We've already felt the devastating impacts of climate change firsthand, and the devastation it rains upon us will only worsen. The consequences are our future, and if we as a state can do anything to stop it, why wouldn't we? Transparency in the plan is not just a demand, but a fundamental right. We, the youth, most affected by the decisions made today, insist on complete openness in the processes and actions taken by the Oregon Investment Council and Treasury. Any lack of transparency not only raises concerns about accountability, but also hinders the ability of experts and people to engage in constructive dialogue and advocate for responsible investment practices. If you genuinely wish to uphold your commitment to environmental responsibility, we deserve to know how our leaders plan to protect us from the worsening impacts of climate change. Transparent decision-making is not just a mark of responsible governance, but a testament to your commitment to the people you serve. The fact is, we cannot wait until 2050 to become net zero. I understand the worries about divestment. Engagement, legal and fiduciary responsibilities, market volatility, you name it. But we don't have that kind of time. Saying you're going to be net zero by 2050, when in reality, we need to move right now to make sure enough change before there is enough change before 2030 so the Earth is a livable planet. Oh, that's my bad. Saying you're going to be net zero by 2050 is telling someone that you finally fixed the problem 20 years after the due date, and now we're all burning in our own self-made hell. It's too little, too late. Every year that the Council and Treasury spend promising change and not delivering is another year in which our state contributes to the deaths caused by fossil fuels. The youth would like to be able to stand behind the decarbonization plan when it comes out, but it has to be strong. No new investments now. Get rid of the most environmentally harmful investments now. Be transparent about the process now. Our future is in your hands, and we hope you have the morals to make the right decisions. The youth is watching, the world is watching, and history will judge us all by the actions we take today. Thank you.
That concludes our meeting. We have no meeting in November. We will see you all back here in December. Thank you.
You've been listening to DivestOregon.org's testimony before the Oregon Treasury about their investment policy.
Now it's a time of great decision. Are we to stay or up and quit? There's no avoiding this conclusion. Our town is turning into it.
Be seated.
Individually, they cheat, forge, blackmail, corrupt. change until in 1,000 years. In principle, the war effort is always planned to keep society on the brink of
starvation. The war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects, and its object is not victory over Eurasia or East Asia, but to keep the very structure of society intact. In principle, the war effort is always planned to keep society on the brink of starvation. The war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects, and its object is not victory over Eurasia or East Asia, but to keep the very structure of society intact.
Palestine! 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 Palest Palestine!
Free! Free!
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 Palestine!
Palestine!
Palestine will be free!
From the river to the sea!
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.